Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the IDEA podcast, brought to you by the Irish Development Education Association. I'm your host, Maximiliana Mtenga. For over a decade, STAND has been igniting third level campuses across Ireland with award-winning exhibitions, engaging events, and initiatives aimed at raising awareness about important global issues. The 2024-2025 Student Festival is taking place in campuses across Ireland, and STAND is partnering with the African Leadership University in Rwanda. The exhibitions this year will showcase students' work from campuses across Ireland and many countries in Africa with the aim of provoking thought, discussions, and actions. Joining us today is our special guest, Susie Spatt, the festival manager from STAND.
Thank you so much, Susie, for joining us. You are most welcome.
Thank you very much, Maximiliana. It's lovely to be here.
So let's go straight to it then. What are some of the critical themes being highlighted at this year's STAND Festival? And how do you think they will inspire action among viewers?
Well, the title of this year's STAND Festival is What Do You Stand For? With a pun, of course, on STAND. And at the heart of our festival, as you mentioned in your introduction, we have a large-scale exhibition. And this year, the exhibition was designed to pose this question, what do you stand for? Or even, what do you stand for? So this exhibition showcases students from campuses across Ireland who've developed initiatives that bring about change in their local communities or in their local campuses across a whole number of different areas that are related to global justice. And by that, we mean social justice or environmental justice. So we wanted students to be inspired by these initiatives and to see how varied they are, that each of these change makers who've made these changes, their projects are dependent on their personalities, on their skills, and on the very particular needs that they've identified when they look around them. And as you mentioned, we reached out to the African Leadership University in Rwanda, and our exhibition showcases several of their students too. So we went through a similar process in both countries where we called for nominations. We pulled out across the student bodies and staff to look for students who've made changes and who they wanted us to profile. And then we recruited students from here and there who act as reporters, and they interviewed these different change makers and wrote up their pieces. So the exhibition consists of photos and stories, and then there's further interviews available on our website. And what we see, of course, is that there are issues that are shared across the continents and that are manifested on both campuses. And there are issues that are very place-based and are very different. So you were asking about the themes. When we were choosing the students that we would profile from our nominations, we tried to select a wide variety of issues. Funnily enough, what particularly prominent this year amongst our Irish changemakers was food security. So three of the panels in our exhibition profile students who are addressing food poverty on campus. In Galway, for example, is a very good example of a food pantry that offers free food to students. And this was brought about that there were students who weren't able to afford food properly. So that's a theme this year. But we have a whole array of different themes. So inclusivity is a big one. We have change makers who are focusing on, for example, intersectionality. We have ethnic minorities, and this case in relation to teaching in Ireland. So that's something you might necessarily think, but student teachers in Ireland, we have a girl who's from a Muslim heritage group to support ethnic minority teachers here. We've got activists who are focusing on traveller rights, LGBTQ+, gender equality. And interestingly, one of our African change makers has focused on stigmas that are associated with fertility issues in women. And Guy Latjo, who is from a refugees camp in South Sudan, he's studying at the university in Rwanda. He's been running a project on access to primary education in refugee camps. So I guess I'm just trying to illustrate that the themes are really broad ranging. The idea is to show that you as a student can use your education, you can use your energies, your interests to make change in areas that matter to you, whatever they may be. And just to add to that, we're also profiling student activism as activism. We've shown students who are campaigning for Palestine and student housing. We have very prominent in our exhibition is Laszlo, who's from Trinity College, Dublin, and he's a very popular guy. So everywhere I go with my exhibition at different campuses around Ireland, everybody seems to know him and they all love him. So he ran some really cool campaigns in Trinity that made national headlines. And he actually succeeded in coercing Trinity to revise some of their policies. And he, interestingly, was quite critical of student complacency. And when he was the president of the SU, he was really urging the student unions to be more radical, a bit more anti-establishment and proactive. So again, the message is, what do you stand for? And the implied question behind that is, and how will you stand for it? So given your situation, given your talents, given your interests, what are you going to do next? How are you going to find your tribe? Will you join some existing projects or will you start your own, and what's next for you?
Thank you so much, Susie. I think the themes are very interesting. You are going through different campuses. Even young people are going to be interested with these themes, looking into things like inclusivity, ethnic minority, traveler issues and traveler rights. So Susie, can you tell us what inspired the collaboration with African Leadership University in Rwanda?
Yeah, so this is a really interesting collaboration. And it actually came through some earlier contacts I had in a previous life where I was doing some research on youth leadership. And through an American connection of mine, I met in a pub in Dublin, and he told me about the African Leadership Academy in Johannesburg. And I was completely fascinated by their model and their value system. So the mission of the African Leadership Academy is kind of interesting. They want to create the next set of leaders for the African continent, or rather curate, I should say, I suppose. And to do this, they run a 2-year schools program. So it's the last 2 years of school. So they teach them A-levels and then they teach them African cultural studies or African studies. And then they do this very intense personal development leadership program. They call it entrepreneurial leadership. And I don't know if you've seen, there's a Netflix movie called The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind. And he was based in Malawi and he went on to attend this school. And this is because they would go around to every single country in Africa and they would look for people who had leadership potential and they would recruit them. So I was so interested in their inclusivity and I was really interested in this kind of intense leadership program that they ran and the development of emotional intelligence. So after a few years of stalking them on the internet, my life situation was such that I could take a few weeks off in the summer to go and volunteer there as part of their global scholars program as a facilitator. So that program is a kind of summer camp program for students from around the world to come and do a mini version of their program. And while I was there just at the end of June. So the main school was still running for a week. So I got to meet some of the senior management team there. I got to meet some of the students. And while I was running the summer program, I had some of the student alumni working with me. So there were these 19-year-olds and they looked like your typical slouchy teenagers. Like they walked around with their earphones stuck permanently in their ears. But as soon as they were facilitating youth groups or when we were having discussions about meaning, about purpose, about empathy, about proactivity, I mean, wow, I was blown away by them. And they just seemed so mature and their education seemed to have been so impactful on how they thought about their lives and they thought about their place in the world. So I was kind of hooked on what they were doing. And then I discovered that they had been the founders of the school in Johannesburg, had gone on to set up some universities in Rwanda and Madagascar, and that they wanted to continue to offer this social entrepreneurial leadership programs in those places and for students to be able to continue their journey. So when I came to stand and I started to get to grips with our mission here, I was very much put in mind of the African Leadership Academy and the university. I suppose if I could put into my own words, I'd say that, you know, our mission at Stand is about mobilizing students here in Ireland to take action for global issues, but to do so in a way that is underpinned by critical thinking, by developing their skills and talents, by developing their integrity, by showing their commitment. And, you know, I think we in the DevEd sector know it's so easy to jump to conclusions and to get on with finding solutions. And at Stand, we're really asking, you know, what does it take for students to really develop that deep understanding that deep integrity to build on their emotional intelligence when they're trying to deal with these really difficult, globally important issues. And so when I thought about what we were trying to do, and I thought about my experiences with the African Leadership Group, I thought, well, what better place to make a connection? And so I looked them up, and here we are. So that's how that came about.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting, Susie. How do the partnerships enhance the STANS Festival ability to address and raise awareness about critical global issues?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this partnership is really useful because it's the global part of global issues and global citizens that can be a little bit tricky to deal with and to get to grips with. We know that we're facing these big issues whose root causes stem from these large global systems. But it's kind of tricky sometimes because most actions, and even the really impactful ones, almost always start local, at least. And so then we kind of ask, in what way do we identify as global citizens? You know, we have students here who are working, say, on mental health issues, and they're working with their communities. You know, in what way, how does that become global? So this is a question that we have. And my first thing I'd say is that these partnerships across countries, and indeed continents, because we're beginning to develop some partnerships in other places as well, how these help us to understand these big global issues in a more nuanced and less Eurocentric way. So, you know, we want to help our students develop empathy and solidarity with others who come from really different cultural reference points. And that's kind of evident in the exhibition and the different changemakers that we're showing. And the idea is that this solidarity helps us to feel more global in our role as citizens. And hopefully it helps us to deconstruct some of our assumptions and biases that we have in relation to how the world is constructed. We're at the beginning of these partnerships, but we hope that our relationship will expand, the relationship we have with them will expand our understanding of the world, expand the way we go about creating solutions. So we'd love to see our participants working more together on shared problems. And we're going to see what these relationships and what the impact can blossom into.
Yeah, I think I quite agree with what you said, given that global citizenship education sector has become renowned nowadays. A number of people are talking about it and doing activities and initiatives and programs about it. For example, University of Maynooth now has a certificate for global citizenship education. So I suppose young people are going, you know, deeper and deeper with regards to global issues and to know their root causes of these things and to act to transform everything that they are seeing as not the way they are supposed to be. So yeah. in your experience then, how do these international collaborations impact students involved in the broader audience from global south or north?
Well, I guess we don't really know yet. It was such a joy to have our students work together on the interview techniques. So our students from Ireland and the students from the campus in Rwanda met online, and we ran a training program together, and they were meeting with each other, they were sharing stories, they were collaborating, and that was fantastic. And it was also a little bit magic to see footage of the STAND Festival live in Rwanda. That was last week. It was the first STAND Festival that's been held internationally. So the exhibition was set up on this very beautiful campus, actually, and they held two full days of activities. And we were able to tune into some of this. And in fact, I gave an opening address via Zoom to an auditorium containing the ALU students. So that was lovely. But in terms, I guess, how they affect the wider audiences in the global South and North, I think this remains to be seen. As I said, we're hoping it will lead people to develop their understanding of how issues are both shared and how they differ across the world. We hope that it fosters a kind of demystification of our differences. So, for example, if you're walking across the campus in Ireland and you come across this very vibrant exhibition and it's very bright and fun looking and in your face, and it has some sort of fun question panels as well. And when you look at these panels, you might see stories of people who are very like you. It feels familiar and hopefully inspiring. And you might recognize people who are actually from your campus. But then nearby, there are stories of other people who are from a very different context and dealing with very different problems. For example, I mentioned the guy Latjo, who is from a refugee camp in South Sudan. So that's unfamiliar to us. But, you know, it's also you're reading his story and it's in the context of this wider exhibition. So when you see his picture, when you read his panel, you can see that in some ways he still is like you. So I guess our hope is that we can break down that feeling of difference and increase the feeling of empathy and solidarity And in this way, we want to break down the barriers of us and them, reduce the sense of division that seems to be raising its head in our politics in ever more dividing, disturbing ways. So it's just this, I guess, a reduction of this sense of division and difference and an increase in that feeling of unity and solidarity. So this is a new project and we're looking forward to debriefing on it with the African Leadership University and in trying to understand more about their audiences and what they got from it. So the stand and the students that we were working with on creating the exhibition are really excited about next year. And we're already trying to consider new ways that we can foster a sense of globalness. It's our first festival together, so I hope there'll be more. And I hope that there might be other partnerships in the pipeline so that our sense of global citizenship can be expanded further. I mean, something that was really nice to see here is that because of the exhibition and the way it was put together, certain connections were made. So I mentioned that there's this food pantry in Galway. And because of that, it looks like there are some students on the campus in University of Cork who are going to set up their own food pantry. And this is a direct result of the connections that were made because of the festival. And that's a nice concrete outcome, actually, from the festival. So hopefully we might be able to see some of these intercontinental impacts as we go on to develop our partnerships. So I guess I'm saying it remains to be seen, but we're very hopeful.
I see. People say hope is not a strategy, but at this point...
I would say we're sort of optimistic based on our experience so far. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Anyway, so I also love that you mentioned the idea of empathy and solidarity. I can really relate with these two concepts because I do believe that when there is integration of empathy, always paves the way for solidarity among people. Yeah. So finally, Susie, looking ahead, what are the future partnerships of STAND Festival and its role in fostering global citizenship education and positive change?
Well, joint festival project with the ALU was a pilot for us and it was a first step. So we'd like to explore what's next and how we can collaborate further and in more meaningful ways. We're also in the process of setting up a partnership with a group who work with young social leaders in Palestine. So that's really exciting as well. Their executive director is based here. And together with her, we've identified parallels in the ways that we work with young people, empowering them to become change makers and activists. So we're still in the process of finding our feet in how these partnerships can be most meaningful for all concerned. What I think is really valuable is the intercultural understanding that students get from sharing their experiences with others who are operating in dramatically different circumstances. I mean, we're really lucky here that the student population in Ireland is really diverse. And at STAND, we've been really able to tap into the fact that we don't have to travel to meet people from very different places to engage with them and to learn from different cultural reference points. So that's been really great. But we hope, I guess, that these partnerships offer even more opportunities for that. We're curious also about what we can learn from each other in terms of our pedagogies and our approaches. So we're all focusing on change making under one umbrella name or another, you know, whether you call it social entrepreneurship, whether you call it entrepreneurial leadership, whether you call it activism, change making, GCE, or whatever you want to call it. We want to investigate how we can share pedagogies and share our approaches that really challenge, deepen, expand what global citizenship education means. So I think there's a lot of opportunity here and we're really looking forward to exploring that. You know, those of us who are involved in GCE in Ireland, we're really used to talking about systems thinking and about global interconnectedness, about challenging our own biases. And, you know, we really want to challenge our Eurocentric view of the world. But it's kind of difficult to step out from behind because it is the water we swim in. So we're hoping that by really engaging with these partners, we as facilitators and as staff can hopefully move away from or get some more understanding of what our biases are, our Eurocentric points of view, and really actually fundamentally shake up how we work with our participants and how we understand the world and how we think of ourselves as global citizens. We're also doing a lot of work in depth education for youth with various partners around Europe as part of an Erasmus Plus project. And you know, with all these things, we want these collaborations to be real. We want them to be lasting partnerships. And we look forward to coming back and telling you how they all worked out.
Wow, thank you so much. You guys seem so smart on this issue. So thank you so much for joining us, Susie, and for sharing these exciting updates about the Stand Festival.
Thanks very much for having me, Maximiliana.
Many thanks for our listeners for tuning in to this edition of the IDEA Podcast, the National Network for Development and Global Citizenship Education in Ireland. You can learn more about IDEA by visiting www.ideaonline.ie. This episode is funded by the Irish Aid at the Department of Foreign Affairs. Irish Aid is the government's overseas development program. Irish Aid also supports global citizenship education in Ireland to encourage learning and public engagement with global issues. The ideas, opinion, and comments herein are entirely the responsibilities of the Irish Development Education Association and do not necessarily represent or reflect the Department of Foreign Affairs policy.